How are you?
Fantastic.
We're back.
I'm glad to record again.
Well, I'm Terry.
I'm Shayla. This is a bonus episode, technically, because it's not really a full story, I don't think, but it's just like an extra little tidbit because we talked about the Clarence Hibbard case. Shot in the floor while reading, and his wife Anna was put on trial in Texas County, and that was in 1907, 1906, something like that. And I mentioned once, very briefly on purpose, that the sheriff's department actually may have gone to see a psychic to get information on the case. And I did that, but I didn't go into too much detail because whenever I started looking at it, because that piqued my interest, like it did many of our listeners.
To reach out to a psychic, yeah, during the case is crazy.
So that piqued my interest, and I wanted to know who this person was and how did that go about? How did it happen? And so I started looking into her, and there's quite a story on it. I mean, on her and her life. And so I was like, I'm just going to touch that because I really want to do an episode on it, a bonus episode, and because I was fascinated with it. And so funny, really funny story. I mentioned that in the episode, and I got a ton of Facebook messages, emails, message with like articles about this psychic. So what? I'm like, all of our listeners were like totally on the same wave as me. And like, oh, I need to know more about this. And so they researched it themselves and found information
really
and sent
cool.
it to me and was like, hey, here's something you mentioned that I thought was cool you would like. And I'm like, yeah.
Love it.
I do think it's cool and I'm going to talk about it. So I was really excited about that because I was like, it's so cute that, I don't know if cute's the right word, but it's so nice that we connect in a way that we all have that like
interest.
Oh, mm-hmm. I need to know more about that because that's cool. And yeah, I thought that was really fascinating that everyone was like,
here's what I found.
Yeah, guess what I found. So I dug through newspapers because this woman was such a big deal. I knew like there's got to be information out there. And it's got to be in the paper, right? She had a nickname, Witch of Tasky. Hello.
No way.
People aren't going to be talking about that. So I dug and found a bunch of articles. And a lot of this is just going to be stuff I've pulled out of articles. Because there's not really, that I found, there's not really like a book written about her or anything like that. But
just a few articles,
yeah,
in there. Cool.
Yeah, I think it's great. So, I'm going to be talking about Josie Forbes. Josephine Pauline Nelson was born May 29th, 1871, to parents William and Rebecca in Tennessee. As a child, she moved to Wayne County, Missouri. She married William Forbes in 1897, just before her 26th birthday, which to me seems older.
That's late, right?
Yeah.
Especially back then.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But I don't know. That just struck me as like, oh, 26. Mm-hmm. That seems older to get married back then. But that's when she did. William, her husband, owned and operated a Forbes telephone service, which had exchanges in Greenville, Williamsville, and Tasky. Josie was a school teacher, but she became somewhat famous, and I don't even know that we need the somewhat before it. I think she was famous for something else altogether. Her clairvoyance. So she was a seer. She was called a fortune teller. She was called all the things. But clairvoyance, it pretty much puts it into all that into perspective, I guess, because that's what she was, a clairvoyant, really. This gift gained her the nickname Witch of Tasky, as we mentioned before. But most of the newspapers that I read, they didn't call her the Witch of Tasky. They called her a fortune teller. They called her the seer.
Mm-hmm.
They called her Aunt Jo. is what she was called. I mean, that's what everyone called her, was Aunt Jo.
Everybody liked her, sounds yeah, like.
It does sound like. She was very well liked, actually. And quite a celebrity in her day. In her little neck of the woods, I guess. But her name, I mean, was out there across the nation. People came from every state in the Union to see her. So, very cool. During the early 1900s, thousands, actually, of people traveled from all over the country to consult with Josie on all matters. Love, on finance, on them. Many times she was actually telling them where to drill for oil, where they were going to strike oil. I mean, things like that. Everything she would talk about. She had an interesting process for telling futures. And this is one of the things that I found really fascinating about her, because it's nothing like I've ever heard. And maybe I just haven't checked into clairvoyance a whole lot, but I've never heard of this kind of process happening with psychics. So what would happen is she would sit down to eat dinner, and halfway through her meal, she would go into a trance. She would just, she was different. Mm-hmm. And she would take on the personality, the mannerisms of a young child.
What?
Yes. So she became Little Jo during these trances, and she would play with dolls, and she would talk to them, and she would kiss them. She had a whole like 12, 14 dolls in this room that she would go into after she went into a trance, and she would just play with these dolls, and then she would start telling people's fortunes during this trance. Or she would talk about past events that she shouldn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's the past, sure, but she didn't have Google to look it up in 1905. So it was really interesting to me that that's how it happened. Like, she changed who she was completely.
Like, it's weird that she just went to a younger age and then start talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's uh-huh. different.
And so I have photos, side-by-side photos, and her face changed during this even. And you can see the photo of her normal, and then when she becomes Little Jo, and it's different.
Wow.
You can see there's a change. Her eyes are wider. She's much more like a child. Mm-hmm. She does look much more like a child in that state. So, interesting.
Odd.
Yeah.
Very.
So, like I said, I have a lot of newspaper articles, and I'm probably going to pretty much read through them, but try to, you know, not
bore
say the same thing over and over again. So there was, in the Iron County Register in 1905, this is something that was printed there. It is said that an effort is being made to have the railroad extended from Williamsville to the home of Mrs. Josie Forbes in Wayne County, commonly known as Aunt Jo, the wonderful woman who tells the past, present, and future of all who consult her. And strange to say, Madison County furnishes her quota every week. So they're saying there's enough people traveling to her house to put the railroad to her house.
That's insane.
Yeah. So she's busy. It is said that every night a crowd numbering from 25 to 50 meet at the house of Aunt Jo to consult her. Wives consult about her, about husbands, and husbands consult about their wives. What Aunt Jo did to our friend Rockwell was plenty, but he says Aunt Jo has slipped a cog. So, also, there's a story in this article about two brothers that came from Reynolds County to consult her. They say it's like a barbershop at her house. You have to wait your turn. Like, you get on a wait list and you wait your turn.
Well, yeah. How else would you be able to do it?
Yeah. The two brothers had come a long way, and they were very anxious to get back. It happened that Fredericktown parties were ahead of them on the list, but one of the brothers stepped into the room when the seance was on, and addressing the principal character, Josie, said, "Myself and brother have come a long way to consult you, and we want to get back, if you please, kind lady. My brother wants to ask you a few questions." To which Josie replies, He can't ask me all he wants to know in a few questions. He wants to know about his wife that ran away with the hired man and took the youngest and oldest child with her. The youngest child is dead, and they went south, not north, as he thinks. This man will desert her in a short time, and she will come pulling back to him, but he better let her alone, as she will do the same way again.
What?
Yeah. This brother went back to the other brother, who was waiting outside, and told him what had transpired, and they agreed to wait their turn, for, said one of them, that was our business here, to find out where the woman was, so we could get the children.
Wow. Yes.
If all the stories told of Aunt Jo are true, and we have no reason to doubt them, she is certainly a wonderful woman, and is creating a good deal of excitement in Wayne and adjoining counties. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that was the Iron County Register, 1905. Oh, I skipped over a little part because there's an answer to this part in the next article. So I wanted to wait till the end to read that. So here's this one. One day lately, Dr. Norwine of Popper Bluff, accompanied by a stenographer, visited this prodigy. She told him, so we are informed, that he was going straight to hell and taking others with him.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's good to know.
The doctor immediately diagnosed her case as lunacy.
Of course. He didn't agree with it.
So, actually, just, I think it was a week, maybe two later, Dr. Norwine wrote to the paper. He wanted to talk about what they had written in the paper. Okay. And so here's what he had to say. Having noticed, this is his actual letter to the editor. Having noticed in the Ironton Register a reproduction from the Democrat News referring to a visit made to and a conversation with Mrs. Josie Forbes, I desire to correct the errors therein contained. Mrs. Forbes did not use the language appearing in your article, but instead she said, Mr. Man, if you go to hell, many people will follow you. That's different.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in justice to Mrs. Forbes and myself, I feel it my duty to correct the words which appeared in your paper for the reason you certainly do not wish to do either of us an injustice.
Aww. Oh,
salty. Again, I wish to say, if any man thinks himself an infidel and will visit this lady and will converse with her in her dual mind, they will certainly change their position on that subject. I have visited the lady and given her unusual mental... Given her unusual mental powers, careful study from every possible physiological standpoint, and find it the wonder of wonders.
Wow.
He's saying there's nothing physiologically that can explain all of this that happens. Yeah. So this paper, the Jackson Herald, 1905, ran this article, actually goes on to say, the Mrs. Forbes referred to above is the Wayne County mind reader. See, there's another one. And basically they just go on to say that the person who gave them the information was there that night and they just trusted them to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my fault that I lied. Somebody else's. Then they start talking about how she does this. And that's one. This is one of the articles that I read that I was really interested in. This Mrs. Forbes seems to be attracting much attention. She performs her wonderful feats while in a trance-like state. Just after she eats each day, she goes off in this trance, and she can ward it off by walking around when it comes on her after breakfast and dinner. But when it comes to her after supper, it remains on her all night. When in this trance state, she talks as a little child and plays with her dolls. While in this condition, she seems to be possessed with a supernatural power that is simply wonderful. So they who have talked with her say she has told many incidents connected with the past life of many individuals.
Wow, it's just so insane.
I know.
I'd be interested to see something like that.
Very.
But scary as well. Like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really surprised that people were so open to this and and accepting of her, because, I mean,
that's
people,
different back then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she was, I don't know. I don't understand what's so different about her and not other people who tried this.
Well, she's knowing stuff that she shouldn't. from people's past.
Other psychics did too, and that's true. Witches, and they were burned and drowned and everything.
Valid. Like,
I don't know.
Like, what, you know, she's one of the lucky ones that people were saying, oh, this is kind of neat, instead of, we must kill her because she's Satan, obviously.
Wow.
This next article, I love it. It's one of my favorite. All of them are my favorites. Let's just get that over with. I'll say that every time. So,
I'm sorry to say I've heard that before.
Just so we're clear, every article is my favorite. This one, I don't have the date or the paper because I found it and then I lost it.
Way to go.
I know. I'm terrible. The highlight. Oh my God. What am I trying to say?
What the heck?
I don't know.
Apparently you lost it. Lost it.
The headline. That's it. Is that's terrible. The headline is in the highlight, or oh my God, I really want to say highlight. Something's going on with highlight.
Hey,
in
hey,
the
hey.
Limelight again. What?
Stop having Terry moments.
That's what it is. It's a Terry moment. In the limelight again. There it is. That's all I was trying to say through that whole thing. There's 5 minutes of your life you're never getting back. God. Wayne County fortune teller aids in capture of horse thief.
Wow. Here
this
we
is
go.
One of the cool here's ones.
A, yeah.
So here's the article.
Are you ready? Can you nail this?
Yeah.
Okay.
We take the following from the Labor Herald. Hey, this is taken from another paper, which shows that Miss Josie Forbes, the far-famed fortune teller.
Oh my God.
I was like, what is that word? The far-famed fortune teller of Tasky still possesses her faculty of fortune-telling events and seeing things that occur miles away. The following is the clipping from the Herald. There we go. It's from the Labor Herald. I don't know what year. Shit. On Wednesday of last week, don't know what year.
We get that.
Miles Sedbury hired a saddle horse at Lewis Birch's livery stable in Elvins, stating at the time he was going to visit his mother in Esther and that he would be back within a couple of hours. When he failed to show up Wednesday evening, Birch became alarmed and swore out a warrant for his arrest, charging him with stealing the horse. The sheriffs of several neighboring counties were telephoned to be on the lookout for Sedbury. Birch then got in communication with Mrs. Josie Forbes and the famous Wayne County fortune teller.
Wow.
She informed him that Sedbury had disposed of the horse at Yount's store in Perry County near the Madison County line. It afterwards developed that she was correct.
Wow.
Sedbury sold Birch's horse and three others with it at the Yount's store, received a check for $345 in payment for same. When arrested Friday night at Slabtown, he had the money still in his possession.
That's crazy that she like
How
figured that
out. How would she know that?
I don't. She's psychic. You really struggled with that story, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. So now you know that I don't just read these off of paper. Reading is too hard for me, apparently.
Oh, gosh. You read like I talk.
This story is funny to me. And so I'm going to show you the articles and maybe you'll see why I have so much trouble reading.
Oh, I can't even see that.
Yeah. So they're like... they're really hard to read because some pieces are missing. They're really
faded.
Faint. And because these are newspapers that have been scanned in. So, yeah, that's why I'm not that stupid.
We got the gist. Whoa. We got the gist.
So this one is, it's just a cute little story about some guy that completely trusts Josie Forbes to tell him of fortunes.
Tell me how to live.
Yeah. Lon Atherton tells me that he recently went to Tasky, Wayne County, to see Mrs. Josie Forbes, a woman endowed with power to tell past, present, and future events. Lon gets very much enthused when telling about the powerful, wonderful power possessed by this woman. He was converted to the belief that she fully possesses all the power claimed and that this power is of divine origin. That before she can impart any of these gifts, she goes into a trance. We know all that. It was while under the influence of one of these spells that she told him of the treasures. Gold Ooh. And silver buried on his farm about the commencement of the evil war. That this money was placed there by three men who have long since been called hence. Having implicit confidence in the ability of this woman, he returned home and with pick and shovel proceeded to the designated spot and began digging. Three holes have been dug to the depth of 10 or 12 feet.
Good Lord. With a pick?
Yeah. And shovel. Yeah, there was no backhoes then. But the promised treasure has not been found. But Lon has not lost heart. He still has hopes that the treasure is there and that he will ultimately gather in the shekels. Lon says... Man, these people use weird words. Lon says that there is a continuous train of people, both sexes, going to and from the residence of Mrs. Forbes. They come from almost every state, and so great is the desire to seek advice from this wonderful woman that a registry is kept of the arrivals, and all are presented as registered. Yeah.
I really don't know what you just said until at the end.
So, there's so many people coming that they're keeping a registry of them.
Mm-hmm. Keeping an account.
Like a registry book?
Yeah.
Wow. To register the Popular people as woman. They come. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And so I also found another little article about the register.
Oh my gosh.
The next article started with the register for the last year. This is not the same article. This is totally different. Something I found online. And then some of this I actually put together myself. The register for the last year shows about 8,000 persons who have visited the cabin in the valley. And the daily average this year is something like 40 per day.
Whoa.
Yes.
She's a busy lady.
She is a busy lady. Speaking of her gift, Mrs. Forbes said, here she is talking.
Yay.
I know nothing of my power except what people tell me, as I do not remember anything of what has been said or what I have done while I was in the supernatural state. One thing that embarrasses me, though, is that they tell me when I am in that condition, I play with dolls just as a child does, and that I say I am only 6 years old. This is very embarrassing to me, and I would do anything to be relieved of the wonderful power they say I possess. It seems from report, however, that I am doing lots of good, and of course, I am glad of that. But now that so many people come here, this place no longer seems like home.
Aww.
When I come out of the supernatural state, it seems as if I had just awoke from a refreshing slumber. But my husband tells me that I never sleep until around 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when I go into this spell at supper, it never leaves before 3 o'clock.
Jeez.
When asked why she did not move to some town of more easy access, she said, this place has been home to me for so long that I would be lonesome in a city or town, and maybe if we stay here, the people will soon get tired of coming in cause it is so hard to get here. Those who think it's distasteful to me, we have had several offers to go to cities. And people have offered us money to make the change, but I do not want to go. We were in Popper Bluff a few days ago, and Mr. O.B. Galloway offered my husband $100 if he would get me to talk for 2 nights in that city. But I would not permit him to accept the money, for I believe God has given me this power, and it would not be right to charge for doing anything for the people.
Aww.
So there's a little bit of sadness in that.
Yeah, she's over it.
Yeah. And I don't know when this was written. I found the article, but it was, you couldn't read it at all. It was way too faint. You couldn't make out what the words were. And I'm like, I'm just going to have to be like making things up and that's not right. So I found that one a little
heartbreaking. Sad.
Yeah. That she was like, I'm kind of tired of people coming to my house all the time.
Mm-hmm. She hopes people would stop pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It would be like overwhelming.
It would be. But so she said that she didn't think it would be right to charge for doing it. Other articles that I have found have said it was $1 to talk to her. So I don't know.
Right.
I mean, many other articles said it was $1 a person to talk to her. So I don't, I don't know. She says that she couldn't take money for it, but I don't know if that's completely true mm-hmm. or not. And maybe it was people saying it was $1 because maybe they put that out there hoping people wouldn't come because of that. I don't know. Maybe she charged $1 at her house, but she wouldn't like do talks for it.
Like go places.
Because if she is embarrassed about it and she's embarrassed that people are seeing her childlike, she's not going to be on a stage doing that in front of a bunch of people. For sure.
For sure, yeah.
So.
Poor thing. I do feel bad for her.
Yeah. The most controversial instance of her clairvoyance was her involvement in a murder. In 1908, oh, so close, Miss Anna Hibbard was arrested for the murder of her husband, Crawford Hibbard. Did I say Clarence again?
Yep.
I keep calling him Clarence. I don't know why.
You was way off on the story that you did.
whenever I did that episode, the Crawford Hibbard episode, when I first uploaded it, I uploaded it as Clarence Hibbard and then caught it and then changed it. But I was like, why do I keep calling him Clarence? His name is supposed to be Clarence, apparently. God. So she was arrested for the murder of her husband near Mountain View, Missouri. The Howe County authorities had little or no evidence to convict her, so Sheriff Bill Morgan and Deputy Wendy Robbins went to Taskey to consult Forbes. According to the Howe County Gazette, Forbes relayed this message, which is very interesting to me because of how that case all went. She said, "Yes, I see a woman going up a path to the orchard." We know Anna was in the orchard. "In the house, there are two men, one more, who is lying on the floor."
What?
"One of the men is light complexion and he has a gun. Boom. And the man lying down is shot." So she saw two men come in and shoot him. Now, what do we know about that case that makes sense?
He was laying in the floor and Anne was in the orchard, she says.
Yeah. But the only other suspects that they had was a father and son.
That's two right. Two men.
Huh. Interesting. Aha. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think it's interesting. I don't know. They were supposed to have had alibis, so I don't know how that works. But still, I was like, whoa. That's cool.
And the sheriff didn't mention that, did he?
No. Heck no. He was like, nah, she's full of shit. And so they went and arrested Anna.
What he wanted to hear.
That's yeah. exactly right. They went and arrested Anna.
And I think you said Texas County at the beginning, and it's Howe County.
Well, it was right.
Right on the line.
It was like at Buck Hollow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Texas and Howe County. Right. They were in Texas County, but it was near Mountain View. It's right there. Close. Right. So that's why. It's closer to Mountain View than any other bigger town.
Gotcha.
Okay. Just
wanted to throw that
stop
out there.
Questioning me.
All right, Clarence.
I don't know what the deal is with that. That's messing my head up. I'm glad that story's over. So I can stop saying the wrong name over and over again. So this next article, this kind of shows you what celebrity she was. Because this is actually from the Poplar Bluff Republican in 1929. So this is...
Wow.
20 years after she was talked to about the murder, many years later. I mean, I don't know that she's even doing that anymore at this point. So here's this article, and I'm reading the whole thing word for word because I love it that much.
Okay.
It's so like in touch or like you'll see. "As she puffed away at a black pipe, the tobacco smoke curling from her lips, Mrs. Josie Forbes of Taskey fame was given a permanent wave at a local beauty parlor Saturday morning, it was learned today." This is in the paper.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Forbes came to town early in the day and went immediately to the Bluty parlor. I'm just going with it. Owned, you know what I mean? The beauty parlor owned by Mrs. Francis and Ida Donovan. She was recognized by only a few people, but as soon as she had made her engagement and was informed she would have to wait about 10 minutes for the permanent, she went to the waiting room in the beauty parlor and struck up a conversation with some other people. Has bobbed hair. She explained that she had her hair bobbed soon after the fad became popular. Then she bought a Marcel. In fact, she has had three such treatments to the hair, and she is very particular about her personal appearance. Drawing out her pipe as she sat in the waiting room of the beauty parlor.
See, that's just weird anyway.
Mrs. Forbes asked, "Folks, do you mind if I smoke?" Assured it would be perfectly all right with them, she filled the bowl of her pipe with rough-cut tobacco, drew a match from a pocket in her dress, and scraped it across the sole of her shoe. She then blew fogs of smoke into the air. She explained she has smoked since 16 years of age.
Wow. I say wow a lot in this episode, but that just blows my mind.
Mrs. Forbes is 58 years of age. Her hair is becoming very gray. As she sat in the chair, she asked the operator of the permanent wave equipment many questions concerning the work. She was highly enthused with the entire operation, and after the work was completed, 3.5 hours later, she remarked that she had a real picnic.
So weird.
How snooty does that sound? She has a wonderful disposition, declared Miss Ida Donovan, the owner of the salon. She is very sweet and never knows a stranger. She talks with everyone as though she had known them their whole life. Mrs. Forbes is known quite generally as a fortune teller. She talks only after eating, at which time she says she goes into some sort of trance and remembers nothing she said or did during the trance after the feeling works off. Isn't that so funny?
Yes.
They're like, "Hey, Miss Forbes in town to get her hair did."
In detail of lining the pipe and, oh my goodness.
See, she's a celebrity. Like,
for sure.
For sure. Yeah. I thought that was just adorbs.
Adorbs.
Hi.
Hey.
We're going to move on. 9 years later in the Greenville Sun, June 2nd, 1938. The headline is 101 Friends Honor Mrs. Josie Forbes.
Oh.
Mm. Mrs. Josie Forbes of Taskey was the guest of honor at a gathering at her home Sunday, May 29th, to commemorate the 67th anniversary of her birth. I love the way these people talk. So she had close relatives, a large group of friends. They numbered 101. So somebody and didn't bring one. A date. There's always somebody has to show up alone. So they gathered in at the home in the morning and surprised her. They had a big dinner at noon. The feast, including 20 large cakes, was spread in the yard picnic style. The guests remained at the Forbes home during the afternoon, enjoying conversation and games. How fun, right?
For real.
I love this. Mrs. Josie Forbes was born in the state of Tennessee and relocated to Wayne County when she was a child. She made her home on the Forbes farm near Taskey for more than 60 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
She's been a remarkably active woman, and few women have a larger acquaintanceship. The Forbes home has for years been famous for its visitors, and we know why. She has been able to aid hundreds of people and perhaps brought more publicity to Wayne County than any other individual.
Celebrity. Mm-hmm.
In recent years, her health has not been of best, and hers was the pleasure of the day Sunday when the relatives and guests called to do her honor and mingled together for hours. While members of her family will be in new homes with the building of the Wapapello Dam, Mrs. Forbes will continue to live here as the Forbes home was not affected by the dam.
Yay!
I thought that was a really cool little history tie-in for Missouri, right? When Wapapello Dam was built and displaced a town. yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'm a geek, I know.
You nerd.
So, declining health led to the Forbes moving to Pauper Bluff to live with their nephew and niece, Mr. and Mrs. W.K. Jackson, late in the year 1943. And on May 22nd, 1944, just a week shy of her 73rd birthday, Josie Forbes was crocheting in her favorite chair when she peacefully fell asleep and died.
Oh, what a way to go.
She was buried in Cool Spring Cemetery in Wayne County, Missouri. So she had been in terrible health for a lot of years, and her husband, I guess, had started to decline as well. And so they sold their house, moved to Pauper Bluff, and then she passed peacefully crocheting in her favorite chair.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I thought it was really nice. And there was a huge write-up in the paper
about her, I'm sure. Uh-huh.
So, and they mentioned how for like over 30 years, there were people coming to her house to seek her counsel. And, it wasn't a huge deal, but.
Aww.
I know. Isn't she great?
Yep.
I thought it was quite fascinating. And what I love about doing these kinds of stories is like, these people are important, and I think everyone's important, but they've been dead. So she's been dead, 80 years. And I think it's so nice to like bring them back to life for a while and like go through their life and tell their story. And that's why I really love doing these kinds of stories, is because people don't die if you keep their story going, you know? And that's one reason that I like doing the murder stories from so long ago, is because people can live on. Like, your body's dead, sure, but people aren't going to forget you. And, you know, I think I would only hope someday that somebody is talking about me 80 years after I've died because of something I've done. Yeah, this podcast, that's what it'll be.
Oh my gosh.
No, but seriously, like you don't die. I mean, you live on,
right,
through other people. That's the only way you can
live on. You want to make an impact big enough for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to find out how to do that.
Well, let's not get murdered.
Well,
I don't talked about on somebody's podcast.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that. No. You know, if I'm getting really old and I haven't done anything yet, maybe I'll murder somebody. I don't know. I haven't got a plan set out yet.
Don't let it be your wife that you murder, okay?
But no, I just think that's a really cool, like, I don't know, it's just a nice thought that you can live forever through people remembering you and telling your story. So these people who have been forgotten, and hi, I didn't know who Josie Forbes was. So
hi. Okay.
How sad is that? I just really, I love bringing these people back to life for a little while.
Well, good job.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
She was an easier one because there's a shit ton of information about her
people
in
like
the papers.
Her.
That's one reason that I'm so interested in like genealogy and stuff like that, because like I don't even care if they're related to me. I want to like take some random Joe Schmo and then write his or her whole life and like live it again and literally bring them to life again for a while, because they deserve that. Everyone does. So
wow.
Yeah, that's what I would write a book on.
When you don't start that?
I don't know. I've got too many balls in the air right now.
What? Too many balls in the air?
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd you even hear that?
I'm juggling.
Oh,
get
my
it?
Gosh. Oh, yeah, I do now.
Oh, God. So this is a long bonus episode, but I knew it would be because I love it.
You've been wanting to put it out there for a couple weeks.
Yeah. So enjoy this and let me know what you think. Let me know if you know anybody related to Josie Forbes, because I would be thrilled to talk to them. I didn't find that they had any children, so.
When did they have time?
Right. I mean,
they never had any privacy.
Yeah. And she turned into a child every night. That'd be weird.
Awkward.
It's like a 40-year-old, 6-year-old walking around. So, anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this bonus content. And we will see you very soon with more crap. Let us know what you want to do live. I want to see live because we want to do some Facebook Lives very soon.
Before Christmas, for sure.
Don't make promises we can't keep.
But that would be cool. Some ugly sweaters going on. We'll talk about some holiday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that'd be fun.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll drink eggnog.
No, we won't.
We will drink something.
You will drink eggnog.
All right, guys. We will see you soon. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.